Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Petcher. I'm your host for Cape Fear Seniors, and our guest this week is Bridget Sheridan. She's community liaison with Elder Care In-Home Care. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. First of all, let's talk about what is in-home care. Talk about what is involved in it, and then I want to talk a little bit more specifically about elder care and their background as well.
Okay, great. Yes. Well, in-home care, we go into a client's private home or senior living facility, hospital, and we provide different services such as companionship, homemaker, and personal care services. So that could be, what is that? You know, that could be anything from cooking, light cleaning, laundry, medication reminders, transporting to appointments, running errands, helping with pets, and then also, you know, on the personal care side, bathing, toileting, grooming, and just companionship, you know, maybe someone to do puzzles with you, mm-hmm. play cards, watch movies, read books, those types of things.
So I'm getting to the point where it sounds like the whole idea behind in-home care is trying to keep the individual client as independent as possible for as long as possible at home. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it is. You know, the majority of our clients in the home are chronic. They're not getting better. And we're helping them with their ADLs, or activities of daily living, mm-hmm. and helping them to age in place in their home, or, you know, if they need extra help in a facility, which is now their home in a facility, and helping to also keep them out of the hospital, in and out of hospital visits. So
independence as well as well-being and safety.
Correct.
Tell us about Elder Care, a little bit about the company, how you began, when you began, those kinds of things.
Great, yeah. Well, Elder Care, this is our 41st year in business.
That's a long time.
Yes, it is. We're actually the first in-home care agency in Wilmington.
Let me stop you just for a moment, because in my experience, the whole concept of home care, even now in 2014, some people don't even quite know what it's all about and haven't really run into the term, although that's becoming less and less frequent as the baby boomers age. But back 41 years ago, this must have been a really, really different concept and probably a difficult one to get people's arms around. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. However, you know, we were the first ones around. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and Wilmington was much different 41 years
it
ago,
certainly
right?
Was. Right.
And so, you know, word of mouth and being the first agency in town. But, you know, Mrs. Herring, who started the agency, she really pioneered in home care in this area, obviously, you know, the first agency. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the reason, a little background of why she started the agency.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
She, her mother, so Mrs. Herring was away at school and her mother got sick. And so she came home from college to take care of her mom. And she hired some people just privately mm-hmm. while she worked during the day. And then she stayed home with her mom in the evenings. But she had always said that she would, you know, she wanted to someday start a company to be able to provide these sources, because obviously at that time there were no resources available. So her, you know,
the industry simply didn't exist. Fair.
Correct. Right. Yes. And so, you know, when she was able to start up, you know, she started out of her garage mm-hmm. and the first CNAs and companions were neighbors and Sunday school classmates. And, you know, at that time it wasn't as prevalent for women to be working. And mm-hmm, so this was providing, you know, an opportunity. You know, there were also men, but, you know, a lot of women who were providing the in-home care services. Mm-hmm. So it gave them an opportunity to, you know, have a career and get out there.
Right. You use the term CNA. Can you elaborate on what that means?
Absolutely. CNA stands for Certified Nursing Assistant. And with the in-home care services, you know, there's different levels of training and certifications. And so, you know, different agencies will provide maybe their own training and orientations for companions and train them maybe on, you know, dementia care and things like that. But then certain hands-on that you're going to be doing with some clients, if you are actually bathing them, mm-hmm. for example.
More personal care.
Right, personal care. Then that requires a certain certification. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to take certain classes and be tested and do some clinical work and be on the state registry that you are certified. So that's where, you know, it can cross over depending on what your needs are. So that's, you know, CNA is certified nursing assistant.
So there really, there actually are different levels of care provided by your agency as well as other agencies.
Correct.
Gotcha. When somebody decides, well, first of all, do you mostly deal with the client himself or herself? Do you deal with the family? Is it a combination? How does that work? And how does somebody learn about the need for the service?
We deal with both, really. You know, there's a lot of adult children that maybe either live in town or come in from out of town for a holiday or to visit, and they see, you know, maybe a couple months ago their parent was fine. Mm-hmm. Then they come back and there's all these red flags that things are, you know, things aren't right. And so then, you know, they panic and they know that they can't be there, but they're scared to leave their parent alone. And so then they're doing research on, well, what can we do? You mm-hmm. know, they're not in a place that they want to put them necessarily in a facility yet. They want them to be able to stay at home, but they're scared for their safety, or they know that they just need a little extra help. And so then that's when these adult children would call looking into services. Mm-hmm. We also sometimes have the client themselves call or a spouse. And then also case managers, social workers, and doctors, nurses that call on behalf of their patients because they know that they would benefit from these types right. of services. And so it's a range. It depends. But yeah, a lot of adult children will call for, you know, for their parents.
So here's a scenario. Adult child realizes mom or dad are starting to kind of just slow down a little bit and might need a little bit of assistance, if nothing else, even just, you know, some housekeeping and meal preparation, not necessarily personal care. But when the topic is broached by the offspring, by the child, the adult child, I would imagine that there have to be situations where they would be met with resistance on the part of the client, the potential client, indignance. How do you handle that, both as an agency, and how do the caregivers handle that as well?
That's a great question, because that comes up quite often, that an adult, you know, child thinks that their parent needs some assistance, but their parents think they don't need any help at right. all, and they don't really appreciate the adult child saying so,
right.
and they don't necessarily want someone in their home that they don't know.
Stranger.
Right, correct. And so, you know, the way that elder care handles that on the front end, you know, I typically, as the community liaison, will go out to the home or the facility and sit down with, you know, the adult children and the potential clients and go over our credentials and our scope of services and rates, but then also, you know, go through some questions about what the client's hobbies are, their interests, potentially their spiritual preference, likes, dislikes, and get a feel for their personality mm-hmm. so that we can match the personalities on the front end, because it does take a certain finesse, and we want to make the transition as seamless as possible, especially when the client doesn't even want you in there.
Chemistry has to be incredibly important.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, we really strive to take care of that on the front end
right.
so that their initial experience is as positive as possible. And if for some reason it's not a good match, you know, you get your one-offs that they're not a good match,
right.
then we take care of it on the back end. You know, we want to take any burden off the family for handling that. So, you know, we take care of it ideally on the front end, but if not on the back end.
So what specifically is involved in setting up home care? How does the process work? There's obviously paperwork, but what else has to be done with the client or with the family?
So, you know, initially I'll go out and go over everything as far as the agency and what we can do, and kind of customize a plan on what they think they want, you know, what days and hours they think are going to work, which at first a lot of people don't know for sure.
Sure.
You have no idea.
It's brand new to them.
They
right. have no idea what they need.
Absolutely. And so they think, okay, well, let's try this. But then, you know, a couple of days later, they might say, actually, we need these hours instead. You know, we realize we need more help at this time. So we really try to just, you know, work it out and work with them, be flexible, because when you're starting something new, you don't necessarily know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we go over that and have tentative hours we're going to work with them on. And then we have our nurse, our RN, who comes in and she does her assessment, admission, and plan of care because she oversees all of our companions and CNAs.
Talk about a plan of care. What does that mean?
She, you know, goes through on a clinical level just everything that we can do and what we can do that matches their needs daily, potentially weekly, you know, several times a week. And so she really lays everything out mm-hmm. on what's going to be done.
In writing.
It's all in writing. And, you know, she has a copy of that. We have a copy of that at the office. And then we leave a copy for the client in their home mm-hmm. so that whomever, you know, the companion or aide who comes in has access to that. And so they know exactly what is expected of them while they're in the home.
So the caregiver actually follows the plan of care and the instructions on there that have been left and developed by the nurse.
Correct.
Kind of like a roadmap of care for that particular client.
Exactly.
Interesting. So the assessment is done, what you call assessment, the plan of care is written. Then how do you go about really matching up the right caregiver with the right client? And following that, can you talk a little bit about how the caregivers are trained to provide the care that they're going to provide their various clients?
Absolutely. So, you know, as far as the recruiting and interviewing and hiring process, there are several of, you know, the employees at the agency that are involved in that, one of which is me. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going through and you're screening and, you know, asking questions about, you know, our potential future caregivers, mm-hmm. what their hobbies and interests and background and things that they like, so that you already have an idea before you even hire them.
Right.
And then, you know, after you do hire them and we have our training and orientation, now depending on whether they are a companion or if they are certified nursing assistant, we tweak the training and orientation because, you know, some things have already been covered
mm-hmm, right.
by the for the CNAs.
And the CNAs come to you somewhat trained and you said licensed by the state, is that correct?
Correct, mm-hmm. yes. And so, and then what we do is we go through a training and we do an initial training and orientation, and then we have continuing education, mm-hmm. you know, so many hours
right.
a year that they come in and we do other things to train them. But, you know, we go over behaviors. One thing is behaviors in the home. You know, you're going into someone's private home a lot of times. And so, you know, preparing yourself for that and, you know, they want to maintain as much independence as possible, our clients do. So doing some role-playing, different situations, scenarios, and then, you know, our nurse goes over some clinical things and how we handle that, our policies and procedures, and then different diagnoses because, you know, as you know, no client is the same, and depending on
right.
what they're going through, you know, if they do have dementia or Alzheimer's, you're going to handle situations with that client different than somebody that had a hip replacement or a knee replacement.
Right.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a completely different situation. And so we really try to give them the tools and prepare them for those different situations.
Is there a particular kind of profile of a typical caregiver? What do you look for in caregivers? I mean, I've spent some time talking to people, and the way some people describe it is that caregivers seem to have a gene for care. How do you sort of like glean that out, and how do you kind of identify that? And are there different kinds of caregivers, personality-wise and so forth?
I would say there definitely are different kinds of caregivers. And, you know, all ages.
Right.
You know,
young as well as older.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have employees that are young, you know, they're maybe a college student, and then we have some that are retired and, you know, they just have a passion for it and they might not want to be full time,
right,
but
right.
have some hours. And, you know, when we go through our screening process, we have them answer some questions as far as if they've maybe not on a professional level have taken care of anyone or been a caregiver, mm-hmm. but a lot of them have on a personal level taken care of a loved one and been the primary caregiver.
Right.
And, you know, they go through their experiences and we ask, you know, different situations. How would you handle, you know, if they're not listening to you and you're frustrated? Because, you know, as well as I do, you don't want someone that is going to snap. You know, right. You have to be patient and understanding, empathetic. And so those are some really important things, that traits that we look for, and people that are just very upbeat. And mm-hmm. because, you know, in this industry, you might be dealing with a lot of depression and right. people that are going in a lot of pain. And so you want someone that's going to hopefully maybe brighten their day or just give off that positive energy.
Right. Sure. Where do you operate? Is it just Wilmington?
No. Now, our office is here in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. We are actually on Oleander. Elder Care we're 4130 Oleander Drive, Suite 103. But we operate, we're in Brunswick, New Hanover, Pender, and Onslow counties.
Uh-huh. And I'm assuming the field is growing, given, as I mentioned earlier, the aging of the baby boom population, with more and more people understanding what the benefits of home care are, as opposed to automatically saying, well, let's just put mom or dad into an assisted living facility or whatever. Do you think it will continue to grow?
I absolutely think it will continue to grow. Like you said, the baby boomer generation, you know, so it's getting to that point pretty soon. You know, right. a lot of the baby boomers will, you know, in the future be needing assistance at some level. And so what I can say is, you know, and we work closely with facilities, independent, assisted, mm-hmm. skilled nursing facilities, rehabs, and we have a lot of great ones in the area, which, you know, but, you know, a lot of people that I go and meet with, potential clients, or just out in the field chatting with people, you know, they say, I just want to be at home. I want to be at my house. And so they might not be able to be there for, you know, the duration of their life, but it's so great to be able to offer them to stay in their home as long as possible.
Right.
And so we deal a lot of times with clients that they eventually, you know, they bring us in, and then eventually they do have to transition to a facility. Maybe not, depending mm-hmm. on what type of resources they have. But I absolutely think it's growing. You know, my grandmother, she went into a facility, and we, you know, my mom was like, it's so great. They have all these social activities. And she said, you know, if you care about my wishes at all, you will let me go back to my home. And so they did. And, you know, they brought in-home care in, and it was great because she was so much happier. You know, she was really down and depressed right. when she was in the facility because she just wanted to be home. And not everybody can be, but I definitely think it's just going to grow. And I think it's great that there's so many options available now.
Yeah, and there are a lot of folks out there who really don't need round-the-clock care. They need help at a certain, maybe certain time of the day, maybe getting up in the morning, getting ready for bed at night, that kind of a thing. Whereas in a facility, they're structured to be on 24 hours a day, and that's great for someone who needs that kind of assistance. But for the folks who don't need that high level of hands-on care on a 24-hour basis, it seems like it would make perfect sense to at least look into home care.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Medicare doesn't cover our services, but a lot of long-term care insurance will.
That's what I wanted to get into as well. How do people pay for the service? And do you charge by the hour?
Yes, mm-hmm. it's by the hour. And, you know, we have anything from several hours a week up through 24/7 around the clock. So a full range of clients. And as I said, Medicare does not cover our right. services. So, but long-term care insurance will cover a lot of our services, some or sometimes all. And that's one thing I do too, is I'll go into the home, and if someone does have a long-term care insurance policy, help them review it, and where it comes to in-home care, see if there are any stipulations or what
right.
they can, you know, take advantage of or not. And then, you know, a lot of clients do have to pay out of pocket for the services, and it is an hourly rate mm-hmm. depending on what services they're taking advantage of.
Different,
will depend
different
on the rate.
Costs for different levels, right?
Correct. And then we also have a VA provider agreement, so there are sometimes some hours available for veterans.
And how does that work? I mean, the VA, do you have to go to the VA to kind of get certified as a care provider? How does that work?
Yes, there is. They have a screening process, and they only sign up new agencies if they have a need. You know, they're not going to sign right. up 20 agencies in an area a small area, because then they just don't need all that. But if they have different counties where they haven't, they may have several agencies, but they find that there's more of a need, then they'll sign you up once a year. And they have a screening process. You know, have to meet certain credentials, and then you know, get clear. They do the checks and the paperwork. And
right.
It's a little bit of a process, but
so we spent a lot of time in the show before we wrap up talking about how families interact and interface with care agencies. But then just a moment ago, you referenced relationships with facilities, assisted living, skilled nursing, that kind of thing. Talk a little bit about that and how that helps you both develop business, but also help the clients.
Well, absolutely. We have, depending on, you know, we might have some facilities that someone comes and they, you know, they take a tour, but they're not ready to move into a facility, but
right.
they might need a little extra help.
Mm-hmm.
And so the facility will say, you know, you can look into some in-home care. You know, it can be a transitional thing.
Before that you're ready for what we can offer.
Exactly. And also, if someone's in a facility, for example, if someone lives in an independent living facility or assisted living facility, and, you know, maybe they've been there for years,
mm-hmm.
and that's their home now, really, and they have their friends there, they have their social activities, and perhaps their health is starting to decline. Now, the facility may say, you know, you can't stay here. You're going to have to move to the next level. You know, you need to move to assisted, or
mm-hmm.
you need to move to skilled.
Skilled.
Or we can maybe allow you to stay if you bring in some extra help. You know, if you're going to commit that you're going to have, you know, somebody here, a CNA here
gotcha.
With you, and then, you know, the person that lives in that facility just pays out of pocket
mm-hmm.
or, you know, with their long-term care, depending what their policy is, to have that extra assistance in the facility so that they can stay there.
Sounds great. We've been talking with Bridget Sheridan from Elder Care In-Home Care. Bridget, it's been great to have you on the show. Before we sign off, could you just let folks know how they get a hold of you, telephone number, contact, as well as maybe your webpage?
Absolutely. Our website is www.eldercarenc.net. That's ELDERCARENC.net. And our phone number is 910-395-5003. And just one last thing is with the Alzheimer's Association, I am on the chair for team recruitment. And so that's going to be November 8th at Mayfair Town Center. So if you want to call me, if you want to form a team, it'd be great to get the community out there.
Super. Thanks a lot for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.